Is there anybody here who has the name Martha? You wouldn't own up, would you? This is the big Martha Mary weekend. But before I come back to that, I want to come back to the first reading, which took place under the oak of Mamre. It's where Abraham and Sarah, they were both elderly, and they both encountered God in the image of three angels. One of the most famous icons in the world, without a doubt, is the Trinity by André Rublev. That's a copy of it. Not a particularly good copy, but that's the icon. Many of you will have seen that somewhere along the line in the journey of your life. If you haven't, I encourage you to Google it if you wish, or at least look it up in some way, about this icon. Very, very beautiful. Like I said, 1411. And it is the scene that you heard in the first reading. And we have there God as presented by Rublev in the three persons. And each of the persons wears distinct colours, and their gestures and their seating are in a distinct way also, which highlight the individuality of each of the three persons of God. Now, it's just because there's such a famous icon, and there's a copy of it here in the back of the church, that I brought it forward, because you only get this reading once every 3 years. The reading is not about an icon. The icon is about the reading. And the reading is about hospitality. And the hospitality is of Abraham and Sarah, certainly, but it's also the hospitality of God. So the two come together. And that's what Rublev has tried to highlight there. But let's forward now to the gospel, which is also about hospitality. Certainly we have the image of Martha, or as I say, Martha, Martha. And the image of her exercising hospitality. And then we have, in one sense, the opposite. We have Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, saying nothing but listening. Then we ask ourselves, why would Luke put this particular image there before us at this time? One of the clues is that it follows straight away from the gospel that we heard last week in Luke's gospel, which we all know as the Good Samaritan. And the essence of the Good Samaritan is hospitality. It is doing good works. It is an action that is taking place. There's a lot more, of course, in that gospel, and we unpacked some of it last week. And I finished my homily by saying, God is love. If there is no love in our action, then the chances are it's not an act of God. And the Good Samaritan is actually about an act of God. It is about an action of love. And what we have today is we have Martha exercising hospitality, Mary seemingly doing nothing. We have a competition, as it were, between the two girls. And it seems to me that Martha, we're told, welcomes Jesus into her house. But she's acting as though she's the younger sister. Please tell her to help me. That sort of language is there. So Luke's getting a little bit playful in one sense, but the image highlights the two parts of what it is to be a follower of Christ, or a person who is focused on God. Because Jesus is the centerpiece of this event in Luke's gospel. Martha typifies for us, it seems to me, those who do good works. This is not a slight against Martha or the hospitality she's offering. It allows Jesus the opportunity to say, Martha, Martha, you get distracted by so many things. We can equate, you and I'm sure, can equate more with that line, how we get distracted with so many things, than what we can identify with Mary has chosen the better part. It is difficult for us to identify with Mary because most of us cannot sit still long enough, let alone sit at the Lord's feet and listen. Most of us are so preoccupied with what is going on in our life that we don't even realise that Jesus is actually travelling with us in it. Whether it's the joys and the sorrows, the good, the bad or the ugly, we very often miss his presence because we fret and worry about so many things. The essence of this gospel, in part, is to remind us to get a balance back in our life, to work out what our priorities are, but get that balance right. Certainly, we need good works. But if they do not lead to Jesus, lead to a love of God, then you might be doing a favour for somebody, you might be doing all right, but they are not the good works that Jesus is talking about. The good works must be based on love which leads people to God, not to ourselves. To be able to get the opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet, which I will call contemplation, to get that opportunity is a real struggle for most of you here this morning. You know, it's a struggle for me, and I'm in the contemplative business. I'm in the business of good works, and I'm in the business of trying to lead people to Jesus. And I can tell you, it's really hard. I have to fight too to get that balance in my life between good works and contemplation, between the action and the peacefulness, the serenity. I've really got to fight hard, and I don't have the distractions of children or grandchildren or mortgages or whatever else distracts us during the course of our life. I'm not seeking a promotion, so I've got to work extra hard and be seen around the office more. Quite the opposite, actually. You know, and I don't have the dramas of what goes on in domestic situations. Oh, that's not true. I live with Father Adrian. No, bless him. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. But I don't have the dramas that you people live with mostly in the course of your life. My dramas are different, but they exist and they distract me because I do worry and fret about things that I probably shouldn't worry and fret about. And when I'm conscious of that, as I'm saying to you this morning, I then need to make an extra effort to get contemplation, to get stillness back in my life. That's what I need to do. The three things in Christian meditation: stillness, simplicity and silence. That's the path to being with Mary at Jesus' feet. Stillness, simplicity and silence. How beautiful is that? That doesn't detract from the good works that we need to do, but it allows us to make sure that our priority is correct and our focus is correct. And if we can get that right, then we will do many good works. The problem with a lot of the good works that we try to do is that they take away from the very moment which we're trying to present Jesus, unknowingly or unconsciously. They take away because we concern ourselves with getting it right for this person or this event that we're doing. And they are good things we're focused on. Let me give you one example. In my life, yesterday I spent 4 hours on the road to and from a place, taking some goods that we'd collected, including a washing machine and a whole lot of heaters and flannelette sheets and blankets and things, to a lady who set up a refuge at Geelong, Kate Cleary, to assist women coming out of addiction and abusive relationships and jail, some of them. And she's setting this up to give them a safe place to help educate them into a better life. But she hasn't got much and she's starting off, so I think it's a really important mission. So my focus has been on how can I support Kate, and the parish is actually supporting Kate in her mission. So how can I do that? And that's what I'm focusing on there. But on the way out, I notice, and you might be able to identify with this, that, okay, I'm already looking at my watch, and then I'm thinking, and I've got to get back in time because I've got Mass at 6 o'clock last night as well. So my good works, I'm trying to help Kate out. My heart and head are actually at 6 o'clock. Not with Kate at all. And when I got there, she's prepared her lunch and everything. And I'm saying, okay, I can't stay for lunch because I've already moved on to the next thing. That's the imbalance that occurs in my life daily. And it's not something that I can't control. It's not like that. It's a struggle. That's all I'm saying to you. You know, because I do struggle with getting the silence, the simplicity and the stillness. I want to be more Mary, but it seems Martha is so dominant in my life at times. And when I discover that I'm more Mary, that I've got that opportunity, it's uncomfortable for a while to sit there and let the peacefulness or the silence soak in. It's uncomfortable and it takes a while. So I'm simply giving you that example because I don't want you to think that, oh, as a priest or as religious, that we've got it all together. We don't have it all together. We struggle as much as you struggle, sometimes more. I think the devil works really hard on those that want to focus their whole life on Jesus. I think he does overtime. And any religious that are here today, you have a chat with them and they'll tell you that I'm probably very correct. It is not a day on the beach trying to focus on Jesus. The only way that we can do it is to make sure that our priorities are right. And that's what I'm sharing with you this morning through this gospel and through the hospitality of Abraham and Sarah, is get the balance right. Live in the moment, as it were, but make sure that that moment reflects the love and the joy of Jesus Christ. The fact that if I'm doing something good, I want somebody to know that it is Jesus who drives this goodness. That can only happen if I sit in the stillness and listen to him. Stop talking and listen to him. That's how it works for me. You may develop other methods. But I can say to you quite bluntly this morning that if you want to get the balance right in your life, you need to check out what your priorities are. Truly, and be honest with yourself. What are your priorities? And how do you work out your priorities? The first thing you can do is ask yourself, what do you spend most of your time doing? The second thing you can ask yourself to check your priorities is, where do you put most of your energy? You identify those two things, you'll work out what your priorities are at present and whether you need to fine-tune or tweak them. What do you spend most of your energy doing? What do you spend most of your time doing?